Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 5 of our study of the book of Daniel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Daniel 11, 36 through 45. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're going to be finishing Daniel chapter 11. Before we jump into that, would you pray with me before we get started? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word today. I'll be reading from the NIV. This is Daniel 11, 36. The king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined must take place. He will show no regard for the gods of his ancestors or for the one desired by women, nor will he regard any god, but will exalt himself above them all. Instead of them, he will honor a god of fortresses, a god unknown to his ancestors. He will honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. He will attack the mightiest fortresses with the help of a foreign god and will greatly honor those who acknowledge him. He will make them rulers over many people and will distribute the land at a price. So, what we've done here, and this is a very strange chapter in this way. We've gone from verse 35, where it seems very clearly like we're talking about Antiochus the Fourth, Antiochus Epiphanes, to now this becomes very odd. It's using the same language to talk about someone. The pronouns are all the same, but now we've shifted. And now this doesn't fit anyone in history per se. And almost everybody who, especially those who believe that God is speaking prophetically here to Daniel, those people who think that this is a work of prophecy as opposed to someone writing something later on, most of those people believe that this is speaking of the Antichrist. That's what I believe. This is speaking of the time of the end. And we have that passage of time here. He will exalt and magnify himself, and he will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. So we're talking about some time later. We've got this timing exchange here, which is very strange. We've been talking about things for Daniel that were in the future, not the distant future, but now we're talking about the distant future. The time of the end, and the angels have used this language with Daniel several times now in his visions and dreams up to now. And here we're talking about that again. It's very difficult when you're reading through this and you say, I didn't see that. This is very challenging. So this is one of those things where people like to say, well, the Bible is so difficult, you need me to interpret for you. And there's other people who say, well, the Bible's so easy, you can understand it. You know, just read it. The Bible can be challenging. This is one of those places where it really does take a lot of reading it over and over again. And that's one of the things that's really powerful about what I encourage you to do for the 10-week Bible study is read the book of Daniel 10 times in 10 weeks. I think if you've read this 10 times now, we're on week 9 here, so if you've read it 9 times, I think you will start to see the little bit of a difference here between the end of chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12 and the rest of chapter 11. You'll see that something is changing here toward the end of the chapter. And as we get into this, you'll see that something has changed. But again, it's very challenging. It's very subtle. It's almost hidden here. And again, for Daniel, all of this was in the future. For us, most of it is in the past, and a little bit it's in the future. But one caveat I want to make to that, and I've said this before a few days ago, is as we're looking at this, because it's using this same language, even though we know that Antiochus was a historical figure who was almost kind of like a precursor to the Antichrist with the abomination of desolation. We know that is actually still yet to come, but it seems to proclaim that Antiochus set up an abomination of desolation. So it's both and. It happened in the past and it's going to happen again in the future. And so these passages that we've read, all of chapter 11, shouldn't be looked at as something that's been, you know, fulfilled in the past until we get to verse 36, where it's now yet to be in the future. There could be a lot of the aspects of chapter 11 that we've already covered up to now that have only been partially fulfilled in history, but they're going to be repeated, or some aspect of them is going to be valid in the future. So that's why it's important to look at all of this as a work of prophecy, that this has not yet been fulfilled, and there may be a lot or all of these aspects in chapter 11 that are still yet to come. And why that's important is because, as we discussed yesterday, when things get really difficult, really, really difficult, like it's describing here and like it's going to describe in chapter 12 for us, we really do need to know on the front end that God is behind all of this. He's the one orchestrating everything. He's the one in charge. Because we need to know in the midst of hardship that he's in charge and he's going to win, that he's got our back in the end. Because this is difficult, because what we've already been told, Daniel's been told here, is that his people, good people, are going to suffer and die. Good people are going to stumble and have to get back up, be purified, refined. Those are challenging words to hear, because let your mind play out those scenarios and they're all negative. A scenario where you're getting purified and refined is not, you know, someone is, you know, not being nice to you at the counter of Dairy Queen. That's not what we're talking about. You're not being mildly persecuted because of some perceived aspect of your Christian faith, you know, so that maybe you lose some privilege here in the United States. And that can feel bad. It really can. But we're talking about people actually killing people because they won't bow to Greek idols or whatever is going to happen in the future. We know that the Antichrist is going to, you know, have the mark of the beast and set up, you know, images of himself, and everyone has to bow down or they die. I mean, like, this is serious stuff. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about very serious stuff. And we don't need to be afraid of it. At least not in the sense that a lot of people end up afraid. When we read the words of Scripture, it should invoke a little bit of fear in us. It should invoke a little bit of, not anxiety, but you know, some emotion should happen. We should be like, ooh, I don't like that. I don't know what to do with that. That's kind of scary. I don't like that. Because when we wrestle with that in Scripture, when the fear of the Lord comes over us, when we're reading the Scripture and we're getting to know him and we're dialoguing with God over the Scripture, that's a good thing. Because if the Scriptures can make us afraid so that we go to God, that we run to God for our answers in the Scripture, when those difficult times come, and this is regardless of whether we face biblical hard times, like the actual end times, or whether we face our own hard times, our own tribulations, if we are experiencing the fear of the Lord through his word, when we encounter those situations, when we've dealt with that between me and the Lord beforehand, when we encounter those situations, we can go through them with godly courage. When those hard times come, we're mentally and emotionally and spiritually prepared to face those challenges with godly courage, with supernatural Holy Spirit empowerment and courage to go through those situations. And that's what we need. Today in America, today in our world, we need people who are energized to go through hard times and to face hard times among other people with godly courage and Holy Spirit power. because we've wrestled with these things beforehand. If you get hit cold with these kinds of things, it's going to be very unsettling. It's going to be very fearful. These kinds of things, when it talks about, you know, good people dying and all of this injustice and all of this bad stuff happening, when we read that, it's like, oh, I don't like this. I can't stand this. I don't know what to do with this. I'm sure Daniel's like feeling, oh no, stop talking, angel. Stop telling me this stuff. I don't want to know this stuff. But he's telling Daniel and us for a reason, because if we deal with it now, we will be more prepared when it happens. Now, I will say, when you face tribulations and if you faced hardships and things like that, you know what I'm talking about, is you can never be 100% emotionally prepared for something negative. You can be mentally prepared for a lot. In the military, you know, they teach you to be mentally prepared for a lot of things. But one of the things that in the military they try and take out of the equation is emotion. In the midst of a firefight or, you know, a sneak attack or something like that, emotions have to be off the table, so you just act. That's what military people need. Now, one of the difficult things for them is there's a lot of people that suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, and that's because those emotions do come back. We're human beings. There is no way to separate the emotions of a negative situation from who we are. There's no person who can bury them and not deal with them. They will come back at some point. So there is no way to be 100% prepared for the emotions that we feel during negative encounters, but we can be so much better off, so much more prepared if we've wrestled with these things on the front end. And that's what these kind of passages are about. I've met so many people when they read the end times, they read Daniel, they read these things that we're going through, they get filled with fear. And to some extent, that's a good thing. It's a good thing only if you take that fear that you feel from Scripture and you pray it back to God and you tell the Lord, this freaks me out. And a lot of people think, well, I can't tell God that. It is perfectly acceptable to tell God anything that you feel if you do it in an attitude of humility. I mean, if you come at God and be like, I can't stand you, you've done this wrong to me and this wrong to me and I don't want to follow you anymore, that's probably not going to go well for you. But if you come to God and say, this really freaks me out, I'm terrified of this, God, what do I do about that? You bring it to him like that. Say, Holy Spirit, help me understand this. What do I do? How do I deal with these emotions and feelings I get when I read this passage? And the Holy Spirit's going to help you. The Lord is going to comfort you. The Lord is going to give you power and energy on these things to overcome that fear and to understand how to live your life in negative situations. We may not face the end times. If you're watching this right now, if you're alive on the earth today, you may not face the end times. You may, I don't know. More than likely, you're going to face your own tribulations, your own challenges. And when you've wrestled with these things, you're so much better for it, because then when you do face negative things in your life, you're so much more prepared mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. All right, moving on, verse 40. At the time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle, and the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships. He will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. That's the areas east of what we consider modern-day Israel. He will extend, verse 42, he will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasuries of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt with the Libyans and Cushites in submission. But reports from the east and the north will alarm him, and he will set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch his roll tents between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end and no one will help him. So here we see more bad news. He's going to conquer Israel, the beautiful land. He's going to conquer Egypt, the Libyans and the Cushites, North Africa, that is. the land east of Israel is going to survive his power somehow. And then there's going to be all of these rebellions and seditions and things where he's going to fly off and go and try and resubdue this land. This gives us a much better picture of the Antichrist and his kingdom, his authority, I think, than most people generally have if you just read Revelation or if you just listen to someone's teaching on Revelation. The Antichrist is not going to be all-powerful. He's going to be more powerful than anybody else in human history. He's going to have more authority than anybody in human history. He's going to have more dominion, and his dominion will reach around the globe, but it will not be total. It will not be all-encompassing. He will be a real human being in real time trying to control people in real time, just like anybody else in human history. And there's always going to be dissenters. There's always going to be people rebelling. There's always going to be, you know, in any location, there's going to be people that are for him and against him. And there's going to be a struggle, a constant struggle. And that's really where a lot of the negatives come in, is because of that struggle, because of the people who are going to be against him. Primarily, you know, God's people, believers and Jews, and possibly even other world religions will be against him. There's going to be a lot of religious strange bedfellows, I believe, against this guy, and he is going to rage against them. But in that process, those people who've stood against them, they are going to unify, not around their religion, not around their, you know, tradition of faith traditions. They're not going to unify around that. They're going to unify around the Lord. Let's read this from Isaiah 19. This is Isaiah 19, starting in verse 23. In that day, speaking of these last days, in this time of trouble, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. In that day, Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, "Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance." Now, I believe, if you want to get specific, I believe this is possibly talking about the thousand-year reign of Jesus. But in the end, what we're talking about here is God is lumping Egypt and Assyria, two nations that were not friendly to Israel throughout any point in history. This has never happened. Nothing has ever looked like this in human history. God is speaking of Egypt and Assyria almost on the same plane as Israel. He's calling Israel my inheritance, but Egypt my people, Assyria my handiwork, my work. I love them. God is speaking with such just overflowing love for these people. And so there's going to be some change in the Middle East in the future where what's going on now, what it looks like now, will not be what it looks like in the future. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen because this has never happened yet. This is still yet to come. And when that does, there's going to be a magnificent change, but it's going to cause significant conflict. And this warring Antichrist guy, he's going to descend on them and try and destroy them. And the Lord's going to say, for a time, he's going to be successful. And again, if you're reading through this, if you're human, that should cause you just a tinge of fear, because that's a scary thing to think about. But when we deal with that now, the Lord is going to give us grace and power to overcome in the day when we truly face adversity. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.